headed back in. Condon! A second of the game for Van Veen, and he is loving it. Cornelius on the edge of the box. Oh, wow! How special is that for his first Motherwell goal? For Slatnick, and he shot away. It's a fantastic strike. And it's thundered in by Liam Grimshaw. What a moment for him, the fans' favourite.
Hello and welcome to the MSC podcast. Motherwell have claimed a top six finish in the Scottish Premiership, and we'll have a reaction in the last three games. We'll also discuss the final five games of the Scottish Premiership season. We'll get a bit of reaction from Pepe on his return from Zambia. And we'll see what else takes a fancy over the next three quarters of an hour or so. Welcome back, mate. How are you?
Hi, it's good to be back. Strange experiences watching in Motherwell and Africa and Madeira as well.
Well, I suppose the only place to start is reaction to claiming a top six finish. It's almost unfathomable how we've done it, to be perfectly honest with you. One win since the turn of the year in the league. It was a good win, albeit against St Mirren just over a week ago. Moving into the Livingston game, a draw would have done it for us in the end, given how results went, and that turned out to be exactly the case. 2-0 down with half an hour to go. Again, somehow it was still going to be the case that we were going to sneak in to the top six regardless of that result until Ross County scored 4 minutes from the end at Pittodrie. Suddenly we need an equaliser. Callum Slattery's brought us back into the game at 2-1. In the 93rd minute, Ricky Lamy scrambles one home, sending over 1,000 visiting supporters absolutely bonkers. It's still not really kind of... For me, I'm struggling to get that excited about it, to be perfectly honest with you. I think it's been so underwhelming since the turn of the year. But at the same time, it's hard to take away the achievement of finishing the top six. Motherwell's 11th top six finish since the split was introduced. I'm sure those within the club will be very much of the opinion that it's job done. But is this papering over the cracks, Pepe, or are you just kind of still in a state of delirium after that late equaliser?
I think that adds to the kind of the whole situation, that the madness of the way that it ended. It was kind of maybe not just as dramatic as the Craig Reid Aberdeen day, but it had similar feelings to that. And I think that does certainly give the manager a whole load of wee bit more extra time. And what I mean by that is that at the end of the game, we were singing we were all going on a European tour, whereas it could have, if we could beat Ray Livingston, it would easily have been that the manager was going to potentially get pelters and get negative songs to get him sacked, whereas there was Alexander's army and all sorts. And winning a game like that, it can really motivate the players. You've seen how much the players, I mean, look at Liam Kelly, his celebrations, the fan celebrations, it can really turn everything at the club round and feel as if things are going in your favour. We've got grabbed that wee bit of luck, because if I'm in all honesty, we didn't play well. Did we deserve a draw? Well, at the end of the day, we scored two, they scored two, so we did. Did we deserve to be in top six? Now, what I would say is, they're talking about Malky Mackay. I heard somebody on the radio saying potentially he could be up for manager of the year because he's got Ross County into the top six. But at the end of the day, they've just done an opposite season for us. We had a good start to the season. We were up sitting kind of almost challenging for third. However, we've virtually took their form and won once in God knows how many games. So I definitely think that we need to be realistic. Yes, we do need to, potentially we could get into Europe if Hearts beat Hibs on Saturday. I think it's confirmed that the top five will get into Europe. So there's that excitement. And it really did make a difference. I was saying this on the way home for the game on Saturday, that If we could beat there, that was virtually season ended, and you were a wee bit concerned that you could get dragged into a playoff. But now you're going looking to take something for every game. We really are looking to try and fulfil that dream of getting back into European football. We missed it because of the lockdown the last time. So it would be phenomenal, even if it wasn't deserved in some people's opinions because of performances lately. I couldn't care less with performances if we finish fourth or fifth in the league. If that's where we finish at the end of the season, that's where that's what I'll remember.
Yeah, I completely get your perspective on it. I think that the thing for me, and I wasn't there on Saturday, but I just didn't feel the same buzz. I thought it was brilliant. So many great videos of the supporters after the game celebrating. Clearly, a really vocal away support travelled to Livingston. The performance, again, I've watched the game back, and for the first hour, we're not at the races. Quite fortunate not actually to concede a penalty as well at 2-0 ahead, I thought. But yes, we have managed to grind our way in. Though, looking at it, it should have been almost impossible for us to miss out in the top six, given the platform we gave ourselves with our good start. I think it's, and I'm not one that would ever advocate Malky Mackay getting manager of the year just because I think he's an absolute prick, but the long and the short of it is that he's had to turn around a really difficult start, whereas we had given ourselves such a brilliant platform to really kick on in the second half of the season. Went to Tynecastle and lost 2-0, but we were at that game. What, we've only gone back to January. We're saying, oh, that's maybe us missed out in top three because of that result. To then just be scraping into the top six, it's been quite a turnaround and quite a disappointing one at that. You see County have gradually built up, I think it was a 12 or 13 point gap we had on them following our game against Livingston on Boxing Day. So it has been a slump, and it's my kind of concern from a personal point of view is I was just nonplussed. I've been feeling this way a lot about the football over the course of the last 12 months, where I'm just not particularly enjoying it. I'm not enjoying watching Motherwell, and I've lost a wee bit of that spark and that passion for it, which has happened a few times during my adult life, I must confess, but it feels pretty strong just now. And regardless of the outcome of being in the top six or not being in the top six, I still kind of feel that I read the fixture list and thought, oh, all right, okay. So it's still not grabbing me and it's still not exciting me. But on the other hand, and the flip side that you mentioned there, it could end up being a quite remarkable season.
Maybe not remarkable, certainly. It wouldn't be the word, but it would be a successful season. It's already a successful season. If you look back to the start of the season and you would say, right, you are in the top six and your main two opponents to finish in fourth position is going to be Ross County and Dundee United, every Motherwell fan would have taken that. Every single one of us would have taken that with two hands. I always say that our objective at the start of the season is to remain in the division and anything else is a bonus. Therefore, you look at where we are now, we're in the top six. Yes, there's been times where it's not been pretty. Even when we were winning games, there was times where we thought we've really up to Pataudry a couple of times and we've had a couple of shots and scored two goals. There's been quite a few games like that. And then the fine margins are when the goals don't go in and you end up getting beat. And that seemed to be the what's happened there. But for me, the game was really, you forgot about the rest of the game. That last minute goal with the kind of drama, it hitting off the bar, and it was one of the ones where you didn't know who scored it, you didn't care, you'd seen it hitting the back of the net, you were worried that it was going to get chopped off for some mad reason. There was folk for 3 rows down on top of you, and I mean, that's what you pay to go to the football for. And I don't know whether I feel different they knew that I'd hadn't been there for a couple of weeks, and then being at that and seeing my wee boy and my two nephews, my brother-in-law, a couple of boys from my football team were all around about us, and it was just great. The players getting really, really into it. Even usually I hate seeing support going on the pitch, but I have to say it's kind of understandable in circumstances like that. What does piss me off is that you see these assholes on Twitter saying, imagine celebrating getting into the top six. But for me, it's relief. And that's what football's all about. For living for that moment, you can't buy that feeling anywhere else, anything else like that. For the kind of 5 minutes, everything else that's in your mind goes out. Yeah, and you just revel in it. It was brilliant. I still appreciate that people don't particularly like Graeme Alexander's ways and his tactics and stuff, although I did think that on Saturday he got his substitutions right. I have to say that Mark O'Hara, despite the rumours that he signed for St Mirren, came on and really made a big difference in the second half. Ricky Lamy, he's been brave and played him. There's obviously stories breaking today that Ricky Lamy's considering changing his mind due to the clause he's got in his contract. And I suppose we'll go on and speak about that later. But I think the manager substitutes for a change. Managers do a wee bit of credit for that on Saturday. But for me, it'll be one. We've not had really many great moments this season, if I'm honest. However, that's where you go to football for. Absolutely loved it. Buzzing coming out of it. It's the first time that I can remember going to Livingston and came out with a big smile on my face, even though the game was shite as normal. What made it that wee bit more sweeter is I noticed when they went 2-0 up, Martindale had virtually said that was it, and he was saluting to the fans and virtually saying that's us, we're there. And I looked over, I don't know if I looked, I think I was falling onto the ground and managed to see him kicking things and being frustrated. So it was always good to see you're really getting up. So for whatever reason, I kind of take to him. But I think I'm in such a high just because I managed to get there, and it was one of the moments that you'll remember at the game. And again, I don't think the performances as well. I was really concerned about Sondre. I felt as if he got bullied easily by a really poor striker. I think he looked scared of him, which is unlike him. And Ricky Lamy really did pull us through it. It's been one thing that I've noticed. I think Sondre is great with the support, and I think he gets that wee extra kind of a acknowledgement because he comes in and speaks to them and gives the fans a high fives. But I don't think his performances have been that great, and I think that's why Ricky Lamy's here, because I don't think that they could have Sondre and Oyala as your centre half pairing as it stands. For me, Ricky Lamy's been the kind of most consistent performer. But all in all, I'm even smiling still talking about it. And I don't care if there's fans saying, oh, it's only the top six. It was been in that moment, it was important to me. And it was brilliant. It really was. And I wish you could get that every week at the football, but I suppose that's what makes it more special, that it only comes once in so often.
The only thing I would kind of take from that there is, it is remarkable in the sense that I don't think there will ever have been if we get to end up in Europe, I would argue that there's not been a poorer side that will have made these European places that I can think of. Albeit there maybe be Hearts or Aberdeen or Hibs fans that say, well, we had a team that ended up in Europe when we were really poor, thinking maybe Hibs under Pat Fenlon were a poor side. But they...
Every time St Johnstone's been in Europe, they had a good game against Galatasaray, but...
Oh, but they absolutely merited being there, though. Whereas...
What merits you being there? You need to finish in that league position. You need to win the amount of games. The points don't lie. I really don't get this. I mean, at the end of the day, we're not playing great football, but we've still finished in the top six. We can still qualify for Europe. And we've still won more games than Aberdeen and Hibs, who have got massive budgets, probably double what we've got, if not more than that, who have taken some of our players. I Chris Cadden is one of your direct signings, but he's a player that we couldn't afford to keep. Declan Gallagher at Aberdeen. So you've got to look at it and think, at the end of the day, the points all add up. Getting sneaking points, going up to Pittodrie and winning a couple of games in the season. So I'm sorry, I don't get where all this is coming from. It doesn't matter if there's a team that finishes fourth that hasn't played well. They've still won enough games to get there.
Yeah, but we're absolutely benefiting off the fact that it's been a very poor league. The likes of Hibs and Aberdeen especially, I don't know if you saw St Mirren against Rangers yesterday, they were absolutely atrocious and they were just as bad at Fir Park a week ago as well. We have benefited from the fact that there's some incredibly poor teams in this league, but even then, we've still only managed to register one win in this calendar year. We're very, very fortunate to be in the top six, and we'll be very, very fortunate if that then transcends itself and develops into a European spot. Because in my own opinion, it would be incredibly fortuitous if we manage to finish in a European position, given how poor we've been in the second half of this season. It's played over 38 games, Pepe. It's not played over the first 16 or 17 that it was to Boxing Day. And I just struggle to think, given how much dross we've had to put up with, I still can't get excited due to the fact that I just feel that another shit show is just around the corner, because there is, it's massively papering over the cracks for me. That's what I'm trying to say.
But listen, I'd be wrong if I argued when like that, but it wasn't that long ago that if you looked, I think it was around about Alexander's first calendar year, and we would have been sitting third with his win ratio, with the amount of games in that calendar year for January to January. So yeah, I totally agree that we've not played at all well. I've been to, I've been to every game since Ross County away. I've been to every one. And then the only time that I really enjoyed was when we got that last minute equaliser against St Mirren. I can't argue with that, but it's kind of contradictory that you say it's played over the 33 or whatever 38 games you'd said, because that's right. We can't judge it on the first half of the season, and we can't judge it in the second half. You judge where you are at this particular time, and we're sitting a point off the fourth. So everybody around about us we're all competing at the same kind of level. I mean, if you look at, obviously I was away for the St Mirren game, but I managed to see it, and it's great to keep in touch on Twitter and stuff. But the amount of my little fans that said, "Oh, I wish Steve Robinson was still our manager." You look at the St Mirren, I've always said, I never really understood the whole Steve Robinson love. I think he done well with that season where we finished third. I don't think the football was great. Would we have finished third? Who knows? Because we hadn't really started the top six fixtures at that point. So there was that argument. And then the two cup finals, yeah, it was a great season, but we never won anything. And I think the two cup finals really got him by. Every other job that Steve Robinson has had has been a bit of a disaster. And his final time there at Millwall was some of the worst that I've ever seen. Some of the signings that we took in, yeah, some of the signings that Graham and Alexander's brought in this season haven't been much better. But at the end of the day, I'll guarantee you that Hibs, Aberdeen, St Mirren, Dundee, St Johnston, and whoever else have missed it would all rather probably been our, well, definitely been in our position, and they would probably say, I would probably have him as a manager, maybe with the exception of Aberdeen.
So now that the end goal has been achieved in terms of finishing the top six, do you think that will change the overall perception of Alexander? Because I still think there is a fair degree of negativity amongst the support. Now, I wouldn't say that totally on board with the idea of binning the manager, but sitting after the St Johnston game only 2 or 3 weeks ago, you lose that last minute goal, you've slumped to kind of 8th or 9th in the table, and it's looking so bleak. A team just completely devoid of confidence, and up against a team that were in poor form themselves, but we got our noses in front, and then St. John's come back to turn it around. But the team have shown some resilience since then. They come back against Aberdeen, St. Mirren. We obviously went a goal behind, but we fought back quickly to go 2-1 in front. And even when we were pegged back again, we responded in pretty emphatic fashion. Then you go into Saturday, 2-0 down, and you come back to 2-2. Is that kind of spirit that the team are showing? Do you think that will maybe get the fans fully behind the manager? No. I don't think there's any doubt now that as a top six side, he's going to get the summer to again rebuild and deal with the revamp that's going to ultimately take place, because that's just what happens every summer. The only danger is there that if you maybe miss out in Europe, you then next season got off to a poor start. We could kind of be back to square one in many regards. I don't really know what I'm trying to get at here. I think that his job is completely safe, but I just don't think that the majority have bought into it.
No, I totally agree with you. What I would say is I don't think I've ever been, I don't ever remember a Motherwell support so divided on a manager. And I wouldn't even say they're divided. I would say the majority really aren't sure about Alexander, and there's various different reasons for that. Everybody seems to be baffled with the team selection every week. And I think that is a real frustration. I think we can see that Callum Slattery certainly brought more to the midfield than why he sat on the bench for so long, although I think Slattery still gets stupid bookings and he's caught on the wrong side, which is why he's getting so many bookings. I'm really shocked that he's not received a red card yet this season. They kind of are always changing the back line. It's something that frustrates a lot of the support. I keep on going on about this, but the daft corners really pissed a lot of fans off, because it was frustrating. His lack of substitutions, his stubbornness. And I think all these things added up really, really get to the majority of the support. And I can completely understand, and I would never argue with another Motherwell fan. I'm just of the view that I think that he knows how to win games sometimes, and sometimes it's not the prettiest. And I would rather that we have days like that at Livingston where we're virtually saying, oh, we shouldn't be in the top six and we don't deserve to be in Europe. I couldn't care less if we don't deserve to win to get in the top six and we get into Europe and we've not played the greatest football. It means that in July, when we're playing European football, we've got something to look forward to rather than playing another meaningless game in the Betfred Cup, getting pumped off Airdrie. So for me, that's a definite bonus. But at the same time, despite us being in the top six, I would love to see a poll of Motherwell fans if they would like the manager to step away. I would think there'd be quite a big number that would. I wouldn't be one of them. But where would you sit?
Oh, this is a hard one. If it was to be announced that there was an approach from a Tranmere Rovers or Scunthorpe decided that they wanted to change their manager again, and Graeme Alexander was at the top of that list to replace him, I would not be too disappointed with a partner of the ways. I think that it's going to be a big overhaul over the summer, and I've not got 100% faith in the manager to get that right. And the reasoning for that is also that it seems to be, it's hard because you don't want to speculate too much on that, but in terms of Tony Watt, when he left, there was murmurings that there was a fallout in the summer between Graeme Alexander and Tony Watt. There's been players that almost kind of mysteriously disappear from the reckoning for a starting place for quite long spells, and then they'll suddenly come back in. Is there more to that? Is it something to do with training? Is it maybe niggly injuries? We'll never really know 100% what the case is there. But I've just found him difficult to get on board with. I think that the job that he did in stabilising things last season was good. There was a mixed bag when it came to signings, but we got the season off to a disappointing start with the with that Airdrie game that you mentioned, and the manager kind of questioning how important the cups were. That was also shown by the fact that he rotated quite heavily for the Dundee game in that Premier Sports Cup, which resulted in us getting knocked out by undoubtedly the poorest Premiership team this season. We've also went there and got absolutely trounced Dundee's highest win of the season. We've been disappointing at times, and when we're bad, we're very, very bad. And that's something I'm sure we can agree on, because we've discussed it and agreed on it many times over the course of this season, that this Motherwell team will never be kind of unfortunate to get beat, because it seems to be the case that any time that we lose, we're so, so poor that you can't really make many excuses for the result. So that's kind of why I would lean towards being not an Alexander out frame of mind, but certainly not on board with his ideas, and certainly not his playing style. But it's a results driven industry, and that's ultimately what it will come down to, and that will keep Graeme Alexander in a job. The post-split fixtures have been released today. It was quite funny, because I was reading on the Daily Record website about 20 past four that it was going to be Wednesday or maybe late Tuesday that they were released, and then about 5 minutes later, lo and behold, Motherwell tweeted that they had established what the fixtures were. So, yeah, again, that tells you how much Keith Jackson knows what he's talking about. But the five fixtures read as follows. On the 24th of April, we host Rangers, that game live in Sky. Then comes what I would say is the pivotal games, the 30th of April, we're at Dundee United. The following Saturday, a trip to Ross County. And then we end the season with a home game against Hearts on the Wednesday, the 11th of May. And the curtain comes down on the season on the 14th of May, a trip to Celtic Park. So, first of all, Pepe, we knew that we were only going to have the two home games, because we played 17 home games in the first half of the season. Sometimes you get a wee bit fortunate and maybe get a bonus one. That's not been the case this campaign. And I guess the disappointment there is that the two pivotal ones when it comes to determining European qualifications, they'll be away from home, a trip to Dundee United, and then a week later a trip to Dingwall for a meeting with Ross County.
That is straight away, you're like, the two away games are the two ones that you would want at home. But at the end of the day, we've just got to go out and try and win these games. That's it. It'll probably be a good support going up to Ross County, depending on where we are in the league at that particular time, because that game is really going to be pivotal. But I mean, really, you're looking at taking the unfortunate thing again. I would rather have started with potentially Hearts at home in the first game, because you can see he's going to win that. Rangers will be still wanting to take that game into the Old Firm game, I think, the following week. They'll still be wanting to have that league title, but not that I care about that, up for grabs. So they'll be going for everything with us that day. So I think we've been a wee bit unfortunate. But see, at the end of the day, it's a Motherwell way to go and finish the season strong now, I think. I think we've had our bad spell. I said earlier on that I felt that the kind of elation that we had with the last minute goal might just add that wee bit of hope and bring that wee bit of extra energy into the team. So listen, the fixtures are the way they are. We can't change it. We'll just need to probably do it the hard way. And I think, I mean, at the end of the day, we've had a relatively good record at Ross County. Dundee United have not been overly impressed with, and it would be good to go to Tannadice and rub Tony Watt's nose right in it.
Yeah, it's certainly difficult. I think it's a shame, because you alluded to the point there that last minute goal would surely give us a huge lift. But as has been the case quite a lot this season, you lose that momentum with the the break of a week as well, where obviously no fixtures this weekend because of the Scottish Cup semi-finals. You then go in to the following week and you've got Rangers coming to Fir Park. I would be struggling to even tell you. Would have been the Peter Hartley game, maybe the last time that we got a point against Rangers at Fir Park. So you'd be going back to 2018. And amongst that, you'll have some really heavy beatings that we've taken at the hands of Rangers at Fir Park. So it would be lovely to change that narrative. But it's a very difficult start. It's down to the wire. We've given ourselves an opportunity. I think the three games in the middle are the ones that we should be pinning our hopes and getting points from. I agree with you, the Hearts game at Fir Park has to be looked upon as a game that we must get 3 points from. That's not because Hearts are a poor side, but they may have an eye on a Scottish Cup final should they win on Saturday. They also have already clinched third spot. So us being the club that I've got something to play for, and that'll almost certainly be the case come the penultimate game of the season, we've got to be winning that one. Then it's really down to what we can do on our travels, both at Tannadice and up in Dingwall. You're right, I think that County is a very much winnable game up there, but they are looking very strong and they're certainly carrying a fair bit of momentum. I thought that was quite impressive, the fact that they went to Pittodrie that was expecting Aberdeen to go out and float their way into the top six, and they weren't able to do that because the County held firm. It looks by the highlights that they were they almost parked the bus for the majority of the game and tried to hit in the break. They eventually get the penalty with 4 minutes to go. It's a very impressive turnaround they've had, and they'll be going into these final run of fixtures with a bit of confidence that they can clinch a European place for the first time in the club's history. And United are just an unknown, really, I would say. We've lost to them twice at Tannadice this season, but I thought we were good winners when we played them at Fir Park. There's not a great deal between the sides, and they showed that they've got a wee bit of vulnerability as well. The fact that they're 2-0 up against Dundee in the derby and then took their eye off the ball, lost two goals in quick succession, get pegged back and weren't able to find a winner. So it's an intriguing set of fixtures. I just wish that we had one of these games against United or County at home, but it is what it is. You look at the 92nd minute at Livingston the other day, we weren't going to be in this position. We were potentially facing five dead rubbers. So we've got something to look forward to. And as you say, we're going to need to do it the hard way.
Yeah, I thought crossed my mind there. I wonder how different it would be if we hadn't scored that 92nd minute. What would the two of us be saying? Would that have completely went full circle and said, I think it's time for a change? I don't know. I think that was so crucial for Graham Alexander as a continuation as Motherwell manager. I'd never really thought about it that way because of the elation of the game on Saturday. But I think now he needs to, as you say, it could go one of two ways. We could either go into a wee run or we could easily go into a wee bit of a slump, get pumped with Rangers, take nothing out of the two away games, a draw with Hearts and get beat with Celtic. I mean, that could happen. I don't think it will. But if that did, that was to happen, then I think that the questions would be there, whether the majority, even more of the fans, and I've already alluded to it, I think the majority are not happy with him. I think there'd be an even stronger opinion that they would be concerned that he was going to take us into the start of the season. Almost similar to, although Barraclough was clearly not going to be up to the job, we let him get into the start of the next season, and it was clear that he was not going to be the man. But he's got this now to try and turn it around. And if we have a good start to the season, hopefully that brings a fair bit of positivity back. And we're talking about Europe rather than getting a manager at all.
There was something that was discussed a wee bit earlier on that I want to come back to, and that is the story that emerged today from Ben Banks about Ricky Lammy's future at Fir Park. Now, again, and this is becoming my go-to line. We've discussed this before, but we discussed the fact that he'd signed a pre-contract agreement with Dundee, would be joining them at the end of the season. Now it emerges that it's not quite as concrete as that. There is options for Lammy to get out of that contract. And given the fact that he's had his most prolonged run in the team since Graham Alexander arrived over the last 8 or 9 weeks, that might be a real option now. For me, Lammy's been our most steady centre-half when he's played this season. He's had ups and downs during his time at Motherwell, and I don't think that any of us were massively disappointed when it was announced that he was going to leave, albeit we were a wee bit surprised that he had chosen to go to Dundee, who we still look like they're destined for the Championship next season. The option of keeping Ricky Lammy is an intriguing one, Pepe, and it's one that I'd be happy to actually go along with now. Certainly has changed my views on him quite drastically with his performances. And I also really liked the desire and just how much it meant to him, grabbing that goal on Saturday as well. He's not down tools or anything like that. Not like another player that we got from Livingston not so very long ago. So it's good to see. And yeah, he's certainly worked his way back into the reckoning at Motherwell. And that might actually earn him a new contract at the club as well.
Yeah, it's a difficult one. I have to commend him, though. It's brave for him to come out and say that, because I'll tell you what, see, if I was a Dundee fan, I don't want him. Why would I want somebody that's already trying to talk their way out of coming into the club? So fair play to him. And for that reason alone, then I would probably be agreeing with you that I would take him. I think there's still... The jury was still out on him, particularly when he signed the contract with Dundee. But I have to say, I think every performance, he's been the kind of the one that's been steady at the back. And I include Mugabe in that. He had a great first half of the season, and I think he's fell away again. He's been obviously shipped out to the right hand side. But yeah, it's certainly a strange one that they announce it. They tried to sign him at the time when he did, and you wonder if that's why the club refused it. Alexander obviously rates him, sees him as he's kind of a first pick centre half. So I would be absolutely gutted if he ended up leaving. I have to say I wouldn't at this stage. I think he's a decent player. I don't think he's the best centre half that I've seen in the last 4 or 5 years at Motherwell. But at the end of the day, we know what we're getting with him, and he does seem to be coming onto a game. He seems to have really settled into his position well now. But I'm on the fence with it. I would be happy if he signed, but I wouldn't be devastated if he left. And that's not a cop out. It's just reality, because I think there is other players that could come in and do the same job as what Ricky Lammy does. It's just that we know now that he's maybe found his feet a wee bit and he's settled in the kind of environment. But it's whether or not the club, I don't know what the club's thought process is on it. Would they want somebody who wasn't committed to the club? Certainly the manager looks as if he would, because he's trusted him. So it's a difficult one. But whatever happens, I'm not going to hold it against him, and I'll support him if he stays.
As we head to finishing up the podcast for tonight, mate, you've obviously only recently returned from your 2-week trip to Zambia. There's been some absolutely brilliant social media posts that accompanied the trip. It looks absolutely incredible, to be perfectly honest with you. A remarkable thing that you've done, and you should be immensely proud, as I've said before. Can you give us a couple of minutes on just how the trip went and your experiences of that. It looks like you spread the good word Motherwell right across Zambia.
Yeah, it was. That was certainly my intention. And to be honest with you, it went better than I could ever have hoped. There was obviously a big bit of pressure on me that I kind of kept private because I was going over to Africa on my own. It was an idea that I had, and I kind of people were like thinking, "Okay, we'll not do it," and blah blah blah. And then as things progress on, I'm either 100% committed or I'm not doing it. And yeah, it was a big move to take. There was a lot of things that had to fall into place that I put trust in other people that I hadn't even met, and all that came great. But the thing that I take from the whole experience is, yeah, there's people out there that live in poverty, but they don't know they're living in poverty. And all the time that I was there, I didn't hear one kid crying, and I was or moaning or anything. They were out playing all the time. They were happy. And it was just great to be in that environment. It's almost like going back. There's been so many people spoke to me about it. And for anybody that's listening that watched the videos or whatever, it really did make a difference to me over there. I can't thank everybody enough for the support that I had. But it was just great the way it all worked out. I mean, one day I was driving through one of the local primary schools, and there's two wee guys kicking a bit with Motherwell strips on. And that for me was what my dream was. The football tournament that we had was phenomenal. They'd never seen anything like it. The reaction to the trophies that Patterson's Trophies gave us was out of this world. The Zambia's contestant for Miss World turning up to give the trophies out, and he just couldn't write it. I was in the papers and stuff, and then to come back and get a recognition in Scottish Parliament for the stuff that I've done. I've said this more and more often, but it's hard not to be proud of what I've achieved, and that maybe sounds a bit cheesy, but it really was. The passion that I felt for it was unbelievable. Such a great country. So many reservations, and none of them came anywhere near to the surface. And I would encourage anybody that's contacted me. There's been so many Motherwell fans particularly that sent me nice messages and stuff on Twitter and Facebook. They didn't even know me, but maybe knew my face or knew my voice for being on here, and said that they would maybe like to do it. Honestly, if that's still the case, get in touch, because there's been quite a lot of people that said it. Because I definitely plan on going back. It's just trying to work out logistically when the best time would be to do that. But it was a life-changing experience, and it really did put things into perspective. I actually seen a post whilst I was away about a Motherwell fan that was suffering, and I sent a message to the Motherwell fan. I'm not going to name any names. And I explained what I was doing, and he said, "I've been watching everything you're doing." And I said, "Just keep watching it, and you'll see people on this reacting to wee things that we all take for granted." And I think that message really hurt the Motherwell support right in the head, and thought, you know what, I'm going to go on. So hopefully it's inspired somebody here to see that wee trivial things that we worry about and complain about don't really matter. I'm not saying it's the cure for everything, but honestly, I've definitely come back a different and hopefully a better person. And again, just you included in this, I'd like to thank everybody that's helped me, even in the smallest way. Obviously, even before I went, Bevis McGabby that came to the school tournament, and that was a great day as well. But honestly, I could talk about it all night. But that moment, you seen the Hummel kits coming out. And giving them that's the only thing. There's a couple of Motherwell fans saying, "Why did you not sell them?" For me, the kits were given to kids and adults playing football over there that didn't have anything. And the message that spread, I think at the last count, there was something like 17,000 views of the two Motherwell things that I'd put on Twitter. Now, to me, that's 17,000 people that might not have knew what I was doing and might not have known what I was
they might look into it in the future and remember it. So for me, that was the message I was trying to get across here, and I think I succeeded in that. But it was great to see the kits getting used, and then the strips all been worn that kind of Zambia's main tourist attraction of the Victoria Falls. So for all we know, there'll be some Rangers and Celtic fans bumping into the Elephant Shafuti strip that I'm campaigning with Steelman Pins to get that as the next pin. But yeah, it was great, and again, just so appreciative to the support shown back home. It was great. Thank you for all the stuff you've done with the programme and advice and stuff that we've worked on together. That you people don't know, that stuff that you've done to help me with this as well. So, but there's more people behind the scenes that's helped me as well. So, feels as if I'm ranting on a wee bit, but it's been the best time. Apart from when the kids are born and stuff, that beats any mother game, some of the joy that I experienced over there. So, it was phenomenal.
And that's brilliant to hear, mate. It's, as I say, it's a remarkable thing that you've done. You've done so well to get that all over the line, and given the logistical issues thrown up by the pandemic and such like as well, to still eventually make that many years of hard work come to fruition and go over there and bring such great joy to so many people. It was fantastic to watch along. And yeah, I think that there's many people that are very, very proud of what you've done, and you should be immensely proud of yourself.
Yeah, I mean, one thing that I forgot to mention here was, so before going over, I'd never met any of the guys, and I was asked if I would like pay their the team's league fee. So that was McCooney. That was a village that I was in, and they could see that my passion for football. We mainly Motherwell and Liverpool. But Motherwell explained, and the one I've got the Motherwell badge tattooed in my arm, and when the kids were wearing the Motherwell strip, I was showing them the tattoo, and they were like totally shocked that they'd never seen anything like this, particularly on, because obviously it was white, and they were shocked that they had this kind of tattoo, the same as their badge on their strip. But anyway, what I'm trying to say is, McCooney FC are going to change their name for next season as Motherwell Zambia FC to play in the league. So I think that's maybe their way of blackmailing me to try and get some more claret and amber jerseys over there. But I mean, honestly, we could go over there just now, and I would guarantee within 5 minutes you would bump into somebody wearing a Motherwell strip, man, woman, child. The head teacher at the school asked me for a Motherwell strip, and it was just amazing. Our wee club that was over there, and people were asking what the results were and stuff like that, and that was what my original plan was. Obviously there was other things as well. We'd done the food drive, spent about 1500 quid in food, and also bought an old lady a new roof and stuff like that. But if I'm honest with you, the football was the whole reason why I went, and that's been some of the best memories that I've had. Seeing the 92 strips getting worn was phenomenal. But the fact that there's now going to be a team called Motherwell Zambia FC, it gives us as well fans another team to keep an eye on, and hopefully we can help them in the future.
That's a quite an incredible legacy in terms of it. It's, hopefully that can get really brought to the forefront, because I think the reaction to that as well, should the club's media team or like that get hold of that information, and maybe like the supporters to keep tabs and how things are going for them, that should be shouted from the rooftops, because that's a special, special story. And one that, as you say, you've got the interest of 18,000 people watching the videos of strips being handed out and such like. That would take it to a different level, and I think it's a story very much worth telling, and hopefully those with that power to get the word out there can do that and push it even further. But congratulations again, mate, and it was great to have you back on tonight.
I was looking forward to it. It was just unfortunate that due to the internet we couldn't do one for over there. I was trying everything, but this wasn't going to be possible. But It's been a pleasure, and at least we've got a bit of positivity to talk about, because it really could have been so different with that last minute goal. I think we might even have delayed it, because I think we'd have been too despondent. But thanks for having us again.
No problem at all, pal. You've been listening to the NSC podcast. We'll be back following the Rangers game in a couple of weeks' time. Until then, thank you, goodbye. I've been thinking about the old days.